Did y'all see the sauce drawer that I organized at my work today? No. I put it in Discord.
You organized sauces?
There, we had a sauce drunk drawer in the break room at work, and it was driving me insane. So I went and got storage containers and organized all of them during my lunch break today.
That's funny. I know what you mean. I know that one place had a sauce drunk drawer that I worked at.
Yeah. I hope I don't have to organize again, but I probably will just because people just throw shit in there.
You could have a sauce collection bin where the people can just put all their random ones. And then when you're feeling saucy, like you can sort them.
Yeah.
Like the restock screw bin at Menards where it's like,
yes.
Put it in here. We'll deal with it.
Yeah.
Don't fuck up our other drawers. I would hate that job.
You try to get really good at screws.
Me.
I was going to say screwing. Welcome to Rough Around the Hedges podcast, everybody. I'm Kaylin.
I'm Christine.
And I'm Mackie.
Today we're having a planty chat.
Plant chat.
Woo! So, State Fair happened. Some of us took plants. Christine, you did not get around to it this year.
No, but I am already thinking about next year.
So, your Hoya, depending on how you trellis it, I learned that you could enter it in the topiary category.
Oh.
Yeah.
What do you mean by depending on how you trellis it?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on how tidy it is. Because that was a comment they wrote on my Matilde.
That you put it in the wrong category?
They said could also be entered in topiary.
They're just telling you how to better play the game to get the better awards.
Well, I didn't even consider it because I looked at it. There's like topiary Kokodama and I was like, I don't have any of those.
Isn't topiary like specifically how you trim a plant though? Not.
I mean, again, I didn't even consider it, but they're like, you could put it in this category. Okay.
Topiary.
Good definition. To know for next year because that Matilda didn't stand a chance in the Asclepiad category.
I mean, I put a couple bonsai succulents in the succulent category and they moved it to the bonsai because nobody entered that one. So they wanted it just for entries. Sometimes they'll do that.
They did have an actual like little bonsai ball thing that won.
That'd be fun.
But it also looked like one of those fake bonsai balls you buy at like a home goods store.
Oh.
It was probably a real plant. I didn't bother to check, but I'm just saying.
I mean, when I was looking at the state fair plants, I heard many people looking at mine and be like, you can't use fake plants. These look and feel like plastic. I'm like, that they do.
The Horthias?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. We should probably reverse a second here and tell people how state fair went.
Yeah.
And who entered plants, et cetera, et cetera. So Mackie and Kaylin did. I took 14 plants. How many did you take?
I only had 4 entries.
4 entries. Okay. So way less than me.
Yeah, I didn't want to deal with the pickup and drop-off frustrations this year, so I just kept it small so I could carry it on the bus.
Okay, so I took 14 plants, and I tried to diversify my categories and only take, like, one plant per category, and I think I double-entered 2 plants in the same category, and I was competing against myself, but I did lots of intentional grooming this year. So, like, cutting off any brown edges and trimming up imperfect leaves. Some plants looked silly, but whatever. As far as results go, I took my giant elbow because I was like, let's bring a stunner. I was like, we can fit this in my car. The thing
Where is
like,
it?
It's in the patio door because in my living room. I have my Regal Shield and my Tycon, which I moved closer together now that the elbow is not in the middle of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the elbow is now in the dining room, but I'm going to cut him. I'm going to cut him up into pieces. Sure. So I'm waiting for his top leaf that totally got beaten up because he wasn't hardened off, waiting for him to harden off. And then I'll cut him up. So I was totally anticipating that one would get like first place and purple ribbon and best of show because it's so big and it's so impressive because all this, you know, white variegation doesn't have any browning on it. But all the judges are little old ladies, so they had no idea that that was impressive. So it got first in the aroid category and then a reserve champion in the overall division, which my other plant won. My other plant, which was my Calathea orbifolia, got a first place in the Calathea maranta category and then got champion overall in houseplant favorites.
Yeah.
Which is a little ridiculous, but they do know how hard Calatheas are. And they may even know how hard orbifolias are. And I have a really big one.
It is a nice looking plant.
And even after cutting off some of the icky leaves and trimming up all the brown spots, like, she looked nice.
Yeah.
Real nice. So that was a surprise. Let's see. I also took my Crenothorns euphorbia. I got a purple in the first place in blooming plants category. So that was cool. Got a first place on my Begonia Rex and my Begonia Brevimosa, which I think looked a little silly. because I trimmed out the leaves that were broken. And then there were a bunch of leaves at the bottom, a bunch of leaves at the top, and then some canes in the middle that were kind of leafless. So it looked like a reverse Oreo.
That could be kind of cool. That could be like a topiary.
Could. It looked really great if you looked at it from the top down. Mm-hmm. But of course, the way it sits on a table with how high it is, like you're staring right at the naked spot. My Dioscorea that Mackie grew from seed got first. My dick cactus got first. My variegated string of hearts got first.
I was going to say, I was talking.
Cool. That was cool.
I was talking to some of the people who run the show and I was like, you know, those Huarthia aren't the only things I've grown from seed. And I pointed out your Dioscorea. And then like, I grew that from seed. They're like, oh, you did such a good job. Like, I'm not the one growing it. I was like, my friend's the one who entered it and she's the one who grows it. I was like, I just started it.
What kind of feedback did you get?
They were silly.
Okay.
But a lot of it was like well-groomed or nice specimen. And like not a whole lot of them didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
See,
For the most part, like this is healthy, clean specimen and something which is hidden by the ribbon, comma, healthy could be entered in topiary class. Nice specimen, well presented and groomed. So like kind of just the same thing over and over, really.
I'm just happy that this
healthy
year
specimen.
I'm happy that this year I didn't get the note that just says grow better next year.
You did get a note that said clean your pots.
Oh,
you didn't clean the pots.
Here's the deal with that.
There.
What do you mean? Every year they bitch at me for my collections, not having like mismatched pots. This year I put them all in green pots. So they match.
Yeah. And I
this
saw
year,
those Tagadale pots.
And then this year, and then this year they're like, oh, clean them off and put top dressing up. I'm not doing that. You're lucky I matched the colors.
You should have cleaned off the dirt from the outside, my opinion.
I mean, yeah, but I wasn't paying attention. I was also told that I had to put labels in the pot to label each one.
And then they got mad about your tags.
And then they got mad about my tags because I put labels in the pot for each one. Like, you should put that either on like a card or the front of the pot. I'm just like...
And you can't win.
But here's the thing. The lady who told me was, you normally she's a judge. This year she wasn't. They didn't need her. She's the one who told me I need a tag. And she came up and apologized to me. But at the same time, that collection took first and division, whatever. So I'm not complaining.
Right. Best in division.
Yeah.
We still need a standard of perfection, though.
For our houseplants. Yes. My oxalis, it only had two blooms and I decided not to pull them off. I probably should have. But this comment was not a lot of flowers.
Okay.
But I didn't enter it. I entered it in the oxalis category. I didn't enter it in the blooming in the plants, flowering plants category.
Ugh. I thought it was funny. They told me with my Boea, they're like, something about my trellis being the wrong color.
Yeah, you had bright orange trellis.
Because I had a bright, that's just what we had on the 3D printer. So like, that's what my husband printed my emergency trellis
Why
as.
Why do they have a preference, an opinion on your trellis?
Because they want it to blend in and showcase the plant. They don't want to show off any of the like sticks or stakes you use.
Next year, they're hot pink. I've decided they're going to be fucking hot
they're
pink.
They're complementary colors. That should.
It's attractive. It's nice.
Yeah.
Like, why can't we just have a little stuff. Joy in our lives?
I mean, there was another Boea there and at least it looked better than that one.
That one was interesting because it had a trellis the size of a hula hoop for a small child.
Wow.
And it was only like growing foliage at the top
I need
and not
like
at
that
the bottom. And I was like, why would you pick such a big one?
Well, the weird thing about that one is the vine coming out of it was nowhere near as big and bushy as it should have been. There's something going on with that plant.
Not enough light.
Probably.
I was saying this. We need to get a couple young people on the judging committee who are more hip with the growing of plants these days.
I've actually been looking at joining the Horticultural Society and getting on their list of experts, but I don't have the balls to be like, do you guys need a cannabis expert? Because that's about what I got.
Do you have to be...
They just have a list of people that, like, if people want to hire a speaker or something or, like, about a certain topic, they can go to that list and be like, okay, here's the people that we need to talk
Ooh,
to.
Can I be an expert on light?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Do you have to have, like, quote-unquote...
Or is it just...
Like, master gardener status or something?
You don't. Oh, it's okay. Just the what people that the Horticultural Society identifies as good at their shit, so...
Gotcha.
At least that's the way it seems to me. If you need any sort of certification for that, I'm out.
Right.
Here's my certification. Look at my plants.
I will say the judges gush about you, Kaylin, and all
they
the
They never
shit
talk
you
to
grow.
Me. They talk to you?
They drag me around to show me off. Like
nobody
that's,
talks to me. Like I talk to... Ugh.
Like that was the most frustrating part for drop-off this year was I wanted to like get in and get out. I was there for an hour and a half because I kept getting drug around, be introduced to like store owners and crap like that. I'm like, I don't want to talk to people. I want to go home.
So wait, what about me?
Your plants are really, really big. You obviously know what you're doing and you're a very good grower. People are very shocked at the plants you bring in because they're not in the same state they would expect other people to be growing them in.
it was really funny because I had 14 plants. I shoved them all in my car. I have a Pontiac Grand Prix, so like the seats fold down and it's a long car. So like my elbow went in nose first from the trunk to the passenger seat. And I had like the soil taped up so nothing would fall over. And I had blocks in place so it wouldn't move and shift while I drove. And then I like put a bunch of these other giant ass plants in there. And there was one plant, I couldn't bring my Pilea peperomioides because there was no way I could fit him in there with how much like the leaves and petioles of the elbow took up. But I just kept bringing him in to the, I parked out outside of the building and I kept bringing him in the building and they're just watching me like, how do you still have more? Where did you put these things? I'm like, I drove a clone car. Just going to keep pulling out plants.
And that car must look a lot like your house filled with plants.
Yeah. No kidding. Look, you, oh, Brandon installed some new windows in various spots of the house. So it was dirty and we needed to clean up and vacuum. And so while there were no plants in those windows, I was like, wow, this room gets so much light in the morning. And then I put my giant plants in the way. I'm like, oh, this looks more normal. Damn it.
I'm the same way when I'm watering all my stuff and they get pulled from the windows. I'm like, wow.
It's extremely light in the bedroom through the one window. And I was like, dang, I can't imagine with this new. So if you were paying attention to the Discord this last week, you would have seen that Brandon installed in my new plant window.
Woo.
In my plant room. It's 6 feet long, probably 4 feet tall. Yeah, 4 feet tall.
And it faces east?
It's like a loose southeast.
Okay.
The house is at a slight angle.
Sure.
But for our intents and purposes, we'll just call it east facing. But yeah, it's going to be filled with plants. And now that room gets window light from east and south. But if I didn't have any plants in there, you would absolutely have to put the curtains down.
Put the curtains down.
Like the blinds down. Oh. We don't have blinds. We don't have curtains either. I'm deciding to not have curtains in that room.
Sure.
Because we never use them.
Are the aspects,
then you just take a plant space.
Are the aspects going back or are you going to put them elsewhere?
Elsewhere, but in the corners.
Right.
So it'll be like.
Yeah. One.
Two windows. Then the other wall of the plant room goes into the living room. And then the third wall. I'm going to put 11 pink Wally grows on the wall. And I'm going to grow pothos and philodendron that are vining
nice
in there. And unfortunately, they won't be getting my ideal amounts of light because the light will come in at an angle and, you know, whatever. They're low light tolerant. So they will grow. They will be fine. They will get light from the room and from the grow lights, but it won't be like the usual amount of light I love to give stuff. So
right,
it's the only place in the house I'll be able to use the Wally grows. It's not my stairway or a skylight. But actually, that means I'll have to get 4 new ones for the stairway. Shit. Mm-hmm. Brandon would get mad at me if I asked him to move the Highland down here.
It's such a good spot for him.
He hated installing the Highland Soltec lights in the stairway.
Because of the track or?
Yeah, the track is a piece of shit.
Or because the.
Like the lights are good, but the track it's on is a piece of shit. They need to fix that product because it's like plasticky and gross. And dear, he got so mad at it installing. They're not our sponsor. I can say true things.
No, I know, but dear Soltec.
Dear Soltec, please improve the quality of your track in your track light.
Also
the
sponsorship. Great.
The track sucks.
Also sponsorship. Okay, thanks. Love you, bye.
I should have looked at it because I could potentially buy a second track and just put it up here and then leave the one in the stairway.
Yeah.
And move the lights down here when I want them and put them back when I don't.
Definitely a viable option.
Because the cat doesn't use the catscape. Mm. But he does like it when that stairway is full of light because it's like the sun.
Sure.
Anyway, we were motioning to things in my house that you as listeners can't see. I have a big old bay window, but it's like north facing. So, it's west facing, but there's a giant maple tree outside. So it doesn't get a whole lot of light when it's not the winter. So we're talking about putting the Highland track lights in the bay window so I can grow plants there. So yeah, State Fair was fun. It was fun going in and seeing all my plants. Next year, my plan is to make the elbow or the Tycon bigger, bushier and more attractive. It's like I put them, I was going to take one. And if I would have taken the tie, I would have had to take the little truck.
Right.
To get it there. Hope it didn't flap in the wind too much underneath the cloth shade.
Yeah, because my tie was one. So I didn't enter stuff in the State Fair because the drop-off hours are so strange.
Middle of the day.
I would still have to take time off work. I would be able to go because of my new job finally, but I'd still have to take time off or at least just come in late or something. So I'm thinking about next year. And one of the plants I was looking at when I was like, what would I have entered this year to have big goals for next year is my Tycons. Maybe we'll have battling Tycons.
Unless yours is as big as mine, I don't know that you'll beat me. Just because they're going to look at it and they'll be like, oh, this one's bigger.
You'd think that, though. Think that, but there have been other planets where like multiples of the same planet have been entered in, and it's like the crappy one takes first and the really nice one doesn't even place.
I think where mine beats you is just in the way it's laying and growing right now is
more aesthetic.
More aesthetically round. Yeah.
That was what happened. So I sat this one next to my elbow and I was like, which one, aesthetically looks better. And hands down, it was the elbow because all the leaves were facing a nice direction. Like the Tycon is nice, but like it's just kind of doing what it wants.
Right.
Kind of growing all over. And like, yes, it's big. Yes, it has a wide wingspan. But like,
I do need to get mine in a window, though, because it's starting to solar panel up.
Is yours under your?
It's under the Vita. So okay. I need to get in a window so it goes back downwards. But if once I get my aspects, I'm going to try my regal shield under an aspect.
Okay.
And that would free up some window space for Tycon to go into a window, which then frees up Vitas for some of my self-head philodendrons to have more top-down light.
Which self-heading one philodendrons do you currently have?
Golden Crocodile and Ring of Fire.
I forget about those. Okay.
Yeah. And Golden Crocodile's
starting. I saw him in your picture. You look really great.
Yeah. He looks really nice. And then
what is it? Your Plaumanii had that big ass leaf?
My Plaumanii is huge. I'm going to.
Why are you not sending us pictures of these plants? Damn it, Christine.
Plaumanii is one that's garage sale technically happened yesterday when this episode airs. But that's one that's going to the garage sale. I'm done growing it.
So which one?
Plaumanii.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I am actually thinking about selling mine, too, but mine doesn't look as good as yours. Mine's going to. It's not that it's a rehab, but it got too much sun and now it has lime green leaves that look really cool if that was how it was supposed to grow.
Yeah. The last leaf took me by surprise when it came out. I was like, wow, okay.
Such a cool plant, but like at this point in my life, I don't want any plants that don't always, like once they start looking good, I want them to stay looking good.
Right.
If it's a plant that it has to go through seasons, like if I don't pay enough attention to it, it starts to look not as good. Like I'm no longer interested in growing that shit.
Right. That and like, crawlers. I don't know if I like crawlers.
My problem. Okay. So people are like, put your crawlers in a long pot.
Right.
They don't make deep long pots.
Right.
My crawlers have huge root systems. I cannot put it in a 5-inch deep rectangle pot. I don't care how much room it gives me to grow left to right.
Right.
It's not deep enough. It's not going to hold. Like I need more substrate because my plant roots are too big.
Right.
Like I know I'm not going to be able to do it. I could try, I could try.
You could.
Because I have some of those downstairs and I'm going to start over my mammy eye.
They're just hard. I was going to say, Mackie, how did your plants do at the state fair?
Well, they did good.
You took the one collection?
I took one collection and then three individual entries, two Haworthias and a Boea.
Oh, right.
The Boea got third. My variegated cuspidata got third, which is funny because I saw everyone like, oh yeah, I got two honorable mentions. And then my aunt was like, those are third place ribbons. I was like, I guess I got third.
Yeah, third place is white, honorable mentions light blue. Is that the color system still correct?
They're right there.
I remember all of this from 4-H.
In my defense, I was distracted because my Haworthia, 4 out of 5 of them were grown from seed. And I got to name them. Mm. And one of them was named after someone very special to me. So the fact that it got first and special division has whole hometown celebrating right now.
Oh, cool.
So I'm like, that's the only one I care about.
That's good. Yeah, that's cool.
So I did good. And it was funny because at drop off, they're all like, oh, you got ribbons coming your way. And I didn't realize until after the show that all those people telling me that were judges. And I was like, shouldn't you wait for the rest of the people to drop off before you start saying that?
Standard of perfection, no, because in livestock land, literally, you could walk down and be like, that's the champion. That's the first place. That's, if there's a standard.
Yeah.
Dear Horticulture Society. I know.
It's all subjective.
For plants.
But yeah, other than that, it was just.
And livestock to a point. One judge might not see it exactly the same way another judge sees it.
But that's
we're all just people.
But that's what the standard is made for, is to try and make it fair.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just weird because I walk in and I don't know. I like to talk to people who are there just looking at them and like people were like kept poking my plants. I'm like, stop touching them. Don't touch them. There's a sign that says don't touch them. And like one lady is just like, I want to put my nail into it. I'm like, I know the exact feeling you're having. And if you do it, I'm going to rip your fingernail off. Like, don't do that.
So. When I went in to go see how I did, there was a young person standing by my elbow and we talked because they were like, wow, this is a really big plant. And I was like talking to them. And then it came time in the conversation for me to be like, this is my plant. And they're like, what? Blush. Really? And I'm like, yeah, it's my baby. And they were amazed. I should have been like, Listen to our podcast. Dun, dun, dun.
That's like the one lady who's saying like mine were plastic. I was like, I grew those from seeds. So like if they're plastic, I'd like to know.
Right.
And then I had another lady. She was like, there's another person in our houseplant group who does Haworthia. I think you and him would get along fine. I'm just like, you're probably Maggie? Talking about me.
Yeah. We would get along. Thank you.
It's like we do.
We need to have a Rough Around the Hedges booth at the state fair.
Oof. Not, I can't imagine that's cheap.
No, it's free.
Oh, really?
It's like we would create an educational display and then we would be able to put our name on it and like have free stickers or something.
Well, we've got a banner coming.
Yeah. And then think of all the giant plants we could set out.
Wait, where would the booth be? At the grandstand?
It's in the same spot the houseplant show is in. It's just along the edge.
Is that what like takes over the plants once they're gone or
no? It's only there when the houseplants are there.
Gotcha.
We would be like an exhibitor.
Does someone have to be present the whole time?
No.
Oh. No.
That's what Fractal Cactus did.
Oh,
nice. They've been doing that. And like even the exhibitors get champion ribbons.
Wow. Like for like best exhibit.
Yeah, like a purple, but they don't get money.
Our banner better get first place.
Well, we'll bring nice looking plants.
Yes. We got a banner, folks, and I'm really proud of the design I made of it.
Did you end up centering the font?
Yes. And I made the margins better. Yes.
I'm a very visual person and I can tell when things are off.
I love how it's like, I'm like, oh yeah, that looks great. And Kaylin's like, all right, do this, this, and this, and that's good.
Yeah. Like I don't have a lot of input. Other than you gotta fix this.
And 95% of the time, the stuff you say, I'm like, yes, I already knew that that was an issue. I'm gonna fix it.
The things you say are always like fiddly detail things that I would never notice.
Oh, yeah. That's me. Fiddly detail, Caitlin. So, Mackie, you said something horrible earlier. Uh-oh. And I was really offended.
I probably say lots of stuff horrible.
Mackie was like, our plants are gonna have to come in soon.
Oh, my God. September 1st, the low is 48 degrees right now.
That's okay. Really? They're good down to 32.
And that's fine. It's probably just like one of those things where it's like the last like 30 minutes of the day before the sun comes up or night before the sun comes.
Depending on how much love you plants, you might want to bring them in. Or if you're like me, we're waiting until it's 35.
Yeah, see, I thought I was. Well,
yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, I'm probably safe. Like one, that's not far enough to dip down, but I'm already losing a couple plants to rot because they got too cold.
Oh.
And I looked already? Into them and they're like, do not put outside if it gets below like 60. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm not growing these anymore.
I'm starting to play around with what is considered continual temp because I see a lot of stuff that's like good or like can be outside for 50 degrees continual temp.
Well, so do you know how they figure that stuff out? Like what they're actually measuring?
Dew point, right?
No, they're measuring soil temp.
Oh, okay.
If your soil temp is low, that's where the mass of the plant is. So it's like, if your soil temp is being maintained at like in the 50 degrees, that is a maintained 50 degrees. But if you're just dipping down into like 48 right. for like 45 minutes of the day, right. the plant soil will probably still be like 50, 60 degrees, right. like hardly anything.
Yeah. So I should start making like plant cozies is what you're saying.
Like knitting some alpaca
or crochet them. I don't knit.
That's what I meant. Because like, aren't both of you, or are you both crocheters?
Yeah.
I used to crochet, yeah.
But now you knit?
I don't do any of that stuff
Nobody
anymore.
Knits. Nobody, I knit.
I can knit.
I knit.
I know how to knit. I taught myself how to knit.
But if I was like, Maggie, could you make this? What is your preferred medium, knit or crochet?
I prefer to crochet, but I can figure either of them out.
Yeah. That's the other thing for the state fair. I want to enter something in the crochet category next year, or the needle arts.
Gotta be very fancy.
You underestimate my will to know skills. If I see something, I'm like, I can learn to do that. I then learn to do that.
There's some sandworm socks that have, there's a pattern on Etsy that I want, but I don't, is it crochet? I've never knitted
socks.
It's
going to be knitting if they're socks.
But I know how
more than likely it's knitting. My mom sends me shit all the time and I'm like, that's knitting.
It's true. And yeah. I've already asked you this question as well, because I'm like, I can't crochet because my carpal tunnel gets too bad.
Same.
I know knitting, but I haven't knitted. In ages.
They make hooks with like real big. That's what I've had to change to those hooks with like real big handles to help with carpal tunnel. Anywho,
I'm not interested in learning any additional stitches because I learned one and I'm good. I lost the hyper focus for it. Okay, guys. Yeah. I can only make so many scarves.
But now I'm going to hyper focus.
I never made a blanket.
Blankets are my thing to make.
Okay, hold on. I have an actual question going back to you were talking about when they give you the temperature.
They're not talking about air temperature. They're talking soil temperature.
Right. But like in the weather?
No.
When they're talking like about plants.
A plant is tolerant to such temp.
That it's in the soil.
Because like Vermont Hoyas, he specifically calls out continual temp. that plants are quote unquote rated for, right? So
if they're like plants should, I mean, okay, what happens if the air is 32 degrees, like right above 32 degrees?
Then anything exposed to the air is going to be 32 degrees and it will die off.
Yeah, soft tissue is going to take damage.
But 90% of plants.
40 degrees, we're still good in theory, or will still die?
Well, there's stuff that's going to die at like 50 degrees even.
Yeah, it just depends on the plant's tolerances.
I see. And I don't actually look any of that shit up. Yeah. I just bring in who I'm like, this would devastate me if it dies. And then I leave like the ficus and the cactus outside.
And that was kind of my rule for what went out this year was
whatever can tolerate it.
Yeah. Well, whatever I wouldn't like be super upset if it just died.
Yeah.
So my golden crocodile has gone so crazy this summer that I'm like, I'd be pretty upset if I lost that.
See, the other way I know it's getting ready to turn be time to bring stuff in is like my Diascorea are all waking up. My other dormant stuff are waking up. My Haworthia are pushing out new leaves. So I'm like,
my cactus, my Thanksgiving cactuses, cacti blooming might be my sign to bring stuff in.
Yeah.
That could be a good sign actually, because just a quick go over it. It depends on the amount of light in the day and the temperature in the day is what ignites them to bloom.
As is common with cacti, temperature and light triggers.
Yeah, there was a whole discourse on Instagram for a while about like whether or not that is how you make your cacti bloom. And I'm like, no, that is how you make your cacti bloom.
It depends on the cacti. Some cacti need it to be cold for a season. Others need it to be dry. It varies even within genuses.
Yeah. Speaking of things that didn't bloom this year, my plumeria.
Not surprised. I've been looking at how those bloom.
It's not that time of year for it.
Well, it should have done it right away, but it didn't. I didn't give it true dormancy.
Right.
Because since it never completely shut off its growth, it never knew that whenever, because the way they go is when they turn that grow switch on, it's got to bloom before it starts to grow. But if it's always growing, it's never going to want to bloom because it's like, I don't need to do that step. I'm past it already.
So you're going to leave it outside until it's in the 40s?
No, she's going to keep it dry all winter.
And put it in the basement and just completely not touch it, which is actually beautiful for me because that's one less plant I have to take care of.
Would you have to be careful not to, I wouldn't put it on like on the ground, right?
I'm going to put it on some kind of wood base because the concrete will suck all the moisture out of it. And I let them get dry, right?
The way I would, if it was a succulent, the way I would do it is I just monitor the stem. And as soon as I start to see wrinkles, I would give it like a tiny drink of water because that's the, I need water to survive sign.
I would take your insurance cuttings just to be safe, but you know,
I mean, I would say just as long as you don't let it go too far dry, like if it's wrinkling to the point where like there's deep crevices, that's probably
what I'll try to do is water it really, really deeply before I bring it in, and then bring it in when it's like, I don't want to say like wet, because that sounds like the recipe for disaster.
Oh, right.
But like, I also know from experience that when I bring it in, it holds its leaves for a while still. Yeah. It doesn't immediately drop them. So it could still use up, if I gave it like max water, it could still use up a decent amount of that to not get root rot over the winter if I don't ever water it.
Because you didn't, it didn't lose all of its leaves this last year, right?
No. And it was in a really low light spot in the house.
Right.
But there was the issue of I did give it some water at some point.
Right.
So we're going to try again. I did take one cutting, but I'm going to sell it at the sale.
Sure.
Honestly, if anything happens, I will chop it up in the basement.
You sold it at the sale.
I did sell it at the sale. Thank you for whoever bought my
plumeria. Thank you for everyone who came out to the garage sale. It was a fantastic event. It's going to be great.
Thank you for buying all my cheap-ass plants that I didn't want to bring home. So plumeria, there's enough stem on that thing that even if, you know, I did get root rot and managed to, like, kill off the roots, there's enough stuff I would have cuttings that would probably be just fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's huge. I did take a tape measure out and to measure it's at 7 feet. Mm-hmm. And then I measured the tallest spot in my basement where I can stick it without having to like take any cuttings to get it to fit. And I was like, okay, as long as you don't grow too much more, we're good. So the cutting that I took was the one that was tallest.
Sure.
So that I bought myself a couple more inches worth of space. But yeah, it'll be fun trying to get that giant fucking pot in the basement, but it's fine. It'll be fine. If I lose some leaves, it doesn't matter. They're all falling off anyway.
Have you ever, either of you, taken your ficus down to just sticks?
All the time. Depends on the ficus and how I'm feeling that winter. My big Altissima, that is like my pride and joy, this year I took it down to sticks because I just didn't have...
You do this in the fall when it comes in?
Yeah, I just didn't water it. and it went dormant on me.
You let it lose its leaves.
Yeah, you didn't cut it.
No.
Okay. I've been debating because I like what my tanuki is doing as far as branching, but it's just too far. It's too bald, too far down. I know it's a tree, but I want it to be bushier from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Next March, cut it back.
That's what I'm thinking, if I should just take it down.
Leave it over winter?
Yeah.
You'd say leave it over winter and then...
Yeah. Okay. Trees, you want to cut them when they go right before they go into active growth, so right at the end of the cold season. So like that would match up with us about March.
Right.
That's when I cut my... that's when I do my trimming on those.
I didn't take that advice at all. I was getting sick of how my tanuki was looking, and I was like, okay, time to cut him back and get him to branch. So I did that, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
But my thought was that, so he's going to live under a grow light all winter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want him to be outside mm-hmm. when I cut him so that he can make his growth points with the sun,
mm-hmm.
and then he'll have all his new growth points ready to go by the time he comes inside, so that when I put him under the light, he just grows.
I mean, that's one way to do it. I don't think it necessarily matters with like indoor plants that you're putting inside and outside like that, because they do get a semi-growing season, especially the way inside. You grow them.
Right.
Yeah. And he'll get plenty of light this winter, so he's not really getting dormancy at all.
Yeah. But like the people who grow them in the windows, you probably do want to line it up more with.
Right. And that's
cutting in the spring.
If I was going back to window for that one, but it's in theory getting an aspect light. So.
Because the other part of it is if those growth points activate and they kind of only get a half-ass activation, most of them won't follow through the next year. And I notice that they don't continue to activate and they just kind of dry up and fall off.
That happened to me.
That's what happened with my Altissima too.
The last time I cut it, because it had like, it put out like 3 points and only one of them actually did a thing. That was really annoying.
I guess I have too many plants with too many growth points to pay attention.
I just noticed that.
I've also noticed
shriveled up.
My tanuki, it's been so humid that it's putting aerial roots out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Never seen that on a, you know, tree before.
Yeah, they're kind of funny. I should probably check how big my petiolaris is. I'm going to bring him in under a grow light, and I'm going to make sure he's close enough to the grow light that he gives me big leaves. And I have a feeling he's going to be too tall by March.
Dude.
For a door or what?
Sorry. Well, coming back to you. What, Christine?
What do you mean by too tall?
Like ceiling tall.
Oh, wow.
Mackie, what? you're saying dude.
So, you know, those like giant ass clippers that you cut. Like the small branches the with
anything
the loppers.
Loppers, yeah. The
Cindy Loppers.
That was funnier than it needed to be.
Kind of want to take those to your petiolaris really bad, like very close to the base, because I...
You don't like how tall and skinny he is?
No.
Why not?
That's just a twisted form to me. Like,
oh, no. What are they supposed to look like?
Short, compact, horribly grown. Like they're supposed to be short and... Short, fat, and underpotted.
You and I differ. I'm growing him like a regular ficus. You may be growing him the way he should be growing.
Exactly. Like, in habitat, like, mine would be closer to what you'd find, but, like, you've just given yours, like, perfect condition and perfect everything. It's just, like...
It's never had to struggle in its life.
Exactly. It's like, you brought it out in its full potential, and I hate it.
Okay, so now that we've gotten to the bottom of this...
Remember...
It's only because you hate
you,
it.
You show your love and affection by abuse and horrible comments. Like, that's how you do it. Make them grow better. Give them challenges.
Sick, twisted fuck. The challenge was when my plant cider gave him root rot and almost killed him.
Oh.
That was his challenge this year. But he came back and we're happy now. And okay, Mackie, eventually, I'm going to have to cut him, okay? I'm just scared that when I cut literally every single branch and every single leaf off, he's not going to come back.
See, I just think it's funny because I know the day you cut them, where you cut him, I'm going to be like, you need to go a foot underneath that and cut him off. Exactly.
See, I think what I could do is, okay, if here's his caudex and I'm holding a caudex in my hand, his caudex.
That does not look like what you're holding.
You are perverts. You are perverts.
Says you.
You know what my caudex look like.
Over here.
Stay rough, everybody.
Yes.
This is the base of my plant. And then.
Stop.
Continue.
Okay, man, you should be okay with this.
That's.
Oh, not telling you what I did there. I'm probably going to do a foot above a caudex. is what I think.
For that's where about where I would want you to, yeah.
Sure. Okay, because what's going to happen is I need to prolong the next time I have to cut all of him off again. And if I go a foot up, then hopefully I can just get him to branch more and I'll have more to work with for when I do that. Because like the first time I cut him, I was like, okay. I looked at how tall my windows were and I was like, if I cut him here, then he can branch and start growing from this point. But then he ended up having more branch, less leaf. And so now he's taller than I would like. No, he's cute. He's cute. But like I wanted him to be bushier further down.
I was going to say, you have this whole nice plan, but what is your end goal with this plant? Like, what form do you want it to have at the end?
Don't ask me those questions.
Plant care is a journey.
That's what I'm asking. Like,
it is a cyclical journey. So right now I want him to be tall with giant fucking leaves and thick, veiny pink veins.
I just winked at Mackie.
All I'm thinking is didn't you bring a plant to the show in a dick trellis?
I forgot to tell you, here's the best part about my state fair plants.
Okay, so shout out Pam sent me some. I knew
Pam, our listener, Pam?
Yeah, Pam. I knew this guy existed, but I never paid much attention to him. That fun trellis guy?
Yeah. His name's Cole.
Instagram. Well, Cole, thank you for my custom trellises. I used my Christmas money from my grandparents to buy 2 trellises for various Hoyas and whatever. And they have dicks on them. They have very phallic, very veiny dicks on them. And I asked for one of them to be on fire. So the dick on fire is the trellis that I put in my Dioscorea, which if you look it up, it's got like this little fat little potato and then it puts out vines at the tippy tippy top and they have cute little heart shaped leaves and they grow nice if you put them on a little trellis and then they'll just like fill it out like a bushy little tree and all the leaves hid the fact that it's a dick with flames. And so I took it to the state fair and if you know me and you know that plant and you know that trellis, you're like, hee hee hee, there's a dick trellis at the state fair. If you don't know, you're like, wow, what a nice plant. So yeah, I totally snuck my dick trellis into the state fair competition.
I got his name wrong. His name's Zach.
Oh, Zach.
Zach Bowles. That's where I got the.
Thank you, Zach.
What I thought was cool.
Excellent work. I don't think you charge enough.
Zach and Cole are the same name in my brain.
He makes a lot of cool trellis.
Cody.
No, that's not why. But in my brain, that's also good with like Henry and John. It's just like they're the same name.
They're in the same category group as Justin and Jason too.
Yes, they are.
Don't you remember, like, a couple years ago, every boy was named Jason and all the girls were named Brittany?
Oh, my God. Okay, so my husband's name is Noah. He has been griping about 10 years now. About 10 years ago, the big hot name was Noah. So, like,
everyone's named Noah?
Yeah. We were at the state fair and this little kid comes running by us and we just hear, Ezra, stop. I'm like, now I know how you feel. They're running around with my name.
Okay, well, we're talking about petiolaris. What form you want? What form I want it to take? Right now, I just want it to be a tall, skinny tree with big ass leaves.
But end game, what is your goal?
Well, that's the thing. I know because he grows fast and he gets tall. I know he's gonna get too tall, and I'm gonna have to cut him back. And then I will cut him back, and hopefully he doesn't die on me. And then he will regrow and do a thing. And I want him to like branch and be full and be like a little tree. And I'm not going for like bonsai level. At one point, I thought may or may not, but I don't want to. But like a cute little tree would be great. More branches, the better. More leaves, the better. And I know it's gonna, like, I got a lot to work with. And if I want to grow this thing for 25 years, we'll have lots of different forms.
Interesting.
I know it's wrong.
I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just there's nothing wrong with having a different end goal. It's just like most people, when they get a petiolaris, they want a short, fat, squat thing with a bunch of little branches that have big leaves on them. And they want it big and bushy and low. So that way you can have it in like a bonsai pot type situation.
I mean,
I didn't
research it in that way when I got him.
Yeah.
I was just like, I really like these leaves. I like how they're soft. I like the pink veins. And then the way he started growing was like a really tall, skinny tree. And I was like, I dig it. So like, I just want a house tree.
Okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just,
I have too many short, skinny, squat plants. So for him to be tall and skinny is good to me.
I planted more seeds this week.
Ooh.
I had some adenium seeds. I only had like 200 of them and they're about to go bad because I've had them for like a year now. So I like planted them all. And then I also did my cypress demos because.
Are they all one color? Are they different colors?
I have five different seeds from 5 different plants and the parent plants are all different flowers. Mm. And then like my Arabicums and small lenses are just 150 pack of seeds. So Well, straight species.
If you ever find out, you got a pink one.
I guarantee you I have a pink one. It's the most common color of
that adeniums. Would be something I would like to grow. Because they're cute little squat trees.
We'll find out in 3 to 4 years.
Yay, 3 to 4 years. Glad you started the seeds now.
I was going to say, like, I think I have 2 other batches of adeniums out there that are already at blooming size and stage. Because I have a friend who has one of my seedlings and it blooms for her every year.
Sure.
Aww.
Maybe that's what you should do, Kaylin. Start growing stuff that just takes longer to grow.
I mean that's where I'm at. Like,
but like you have to
break them.
you have to, like, I have to be interested.
Yeah.
So like my slowest growing plant is my Diona Duel.
Sure.
I get 1 to 2 leaves a year out of that thing. But like every leaf is so special. He's such a cool looking plant that like it doesn't bother me. But I don't know if I would be able to do that with all the plants.
Right.
See, that's why whenever I go make my specimen selections for the year, I'll buy like 2 or 3 of the same plant. So I have like options of how they're growing over the years. But like my end goal is like 10, 15 years from now, I just want to be like, damn, this shit's gotten big.
Yeah.
I like it. And just have like specimen level stuff that I grew from like itty bitty. That's my ultimate goal.
Right.
And then Kaylin's like, yes, I did grow these from itty bitty, but like in 3 years.
I was going to say, like, my whole goal is like get these nice plants that people would spend hundreds of dollars on because, you know, they're specimen sized plants. And like, yeah, it takes me 10 years to get there. But once I get there, I plan to just sell them.
Right. That's what you should grow. You should grow like a saguaro.
Saguaro?
Saguaro.
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 Don't those take forever?
They do. I mean, I had like 3-year-old ones and they were like 3 inches, 3 4 inches. Cactus
are too violent and aggressive for me. I can't be trusted.
More the reason to grow them.
I would want to try. First. I want to try a fairy tale again. Fairy tale castle.
Oh, Noah's growing a couple of those, the tetragonas.
Yeah. Mine was actually like growing well. And it was one of those things where I didn't realize how much it was growing until like, I just like looked at it one day and I was like, wow, yeah, that has like, it's filled out his 4-inch pot.
Yeah. I think Noah's, his has doubled in size in 5 years and he got his down in Vegas.
Yeah. I'm going to try it. I do like that one. And it's soft. It's not like
I regret not getting a $6 one at Walmart.
Yep.
When I saw it the first time, because I was like, I have too many plants, and then I didn't buy it. And then I've never been able to find something that size for that price. And I've never gotten one.
It's such a weird like circle for me, how I'm like going back to the plants I originally started with and being like, I want to try those again.
Yeah, like I don't have a neon pothos or a lemon lime philodendron, but like to fill out my Wally grows, I'm going to be asking for cuttings. And a Brazil. Like I don't have a Brazil.
Right.
But I do. I really enjoyed having one of those.
I was going to say, I'm not a huge Brazil person. I definitely like pothos over heartleaf.
It's true.
I like the cordatums over all of them, the heartleafs, especially that lemon lime one. I don't know. I think the neon pothos is a cheap ripoff.
See, the thing with the philodendrons, if they're grown in place, they have a really nice form when they're full and bushy, but like you can't really
repot
do them
any
other way.
Yeah.
Like you can't buy a big plant in it and then try to arrange it to look nice because it just needs to grow into that perfect form.
Right.
Do you know what Noah does with his pothos?
What?
He'll repot his and he'll just let it go crazy, like vine out and it looks horrible. And then he just takes the vines and he wraps them up in the pot and then they just root down and keep going. And this is just what he's done. He gotten to the point where like he's got like 6 feet of vine in the pot.
I put 6 cuttings in a pot, let them grow and chop them back to the soil, let them branch out, get full, and I just rinse and repeat. But I don't like the vines on the soil.
You know my friend Courtney and her Marble Queen pothos she adores so much. I have been trying to get her to cut that thing back because it's got like 4 feet of bare vines and all the leaves at the very end. I was like, just cut it back, cut it back, cut it back. She finally cut it back, thinking it would die and look
and then
horrible.
It got even bigger and better.
And now it's bigger and better. And she's like, I love this. She's like, I should just shut up and listen to you. I'm like, I'm going to remember this for later.
I've been there, done that. Like, I agree with you. When you have a really long pothos vine that's doing nothing, like, for the love of God's nurse, just cut it back.
Yeah.
If it's happy plant, it'll branch fuller and bigger and it'll look even better.
And the plant's
even also string hearts. String hearts do this too.
And the plant's not as happy as you think it is and it doesn't bounce back. Well, you got cuttings.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then you can put 6 of those cuttings in a pot and make a giant full pot and cut them back. And oh my God, it's a circle. My Manjula pothos, I took that to the state fair. He got 3rd place. He's in my skylight in my bathroom and his vines are getting longer. But like we went from the point of, oh yes, he's bushy and he looks nice to, oh my God, the vines are trying to attack me now because he's growing so far down. And like I'm in a love-hate relationship with it.
Sure.
because it looks amazing and it's lush and it really gives you that in a jungle vine because the vines are coming down from the ceiling. But like, I don't want you to grab onto me when I go to the tub to grab another plant I've been watering.
Sure.
I don't want to have to pull you back like a curtain. I don't want you to get caught on me. So the last time my Manjula got that long, I sold him for a bunch of money.
I was going to say, I'm thinking about getting rid of mine.
I don't need yours, but.
No, I know. But
yours looked really nice. You like the Manjula pothos.
I do.
You don't want to just start over?
You know, every time I see Manjula in the store, I'm always like, oh, I should buy that because they're usually like $5 from Lowe's. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, I never do it. And then I'm like, if I want some, I can just bug you for some cuttings.
Hey, Mackie, I got a cutting in the window right now if you want.
I don't want it. That's the problem is like every time it's like convenient for me to be like, oh, yeah, I'll take that. I don't want it.
Like I say, I just threw some in the trash like 2 days
ago. I know.
Ooh, you know what I put in the compost that's growing? Well, okay, we talked about this. My Gigantium that I took all the cuttings off it, and it's just like stumps and roots, and I just threw it in the compost because I didn't want to deal with getting rid of it. The damn thing's growing. It's little like stems that were left over and rooted. Like I have like 6 new growth points and little leaves coming out, and I'm like, dude, I don't need more of you.
You know what I think's gonna live?
What?
My compost green velvet.
Good. I told you it would.
That lived in your garage for 4 days and then lived in my car for 3 more.
I'm a survivor. I told you he's on that chunk of stem. He's good. So he's bouncing back.
It was really weird. Yeah, it's bouncing back. The corm. So this is because I was listening to our alocasia episode a while ago, and we like theorized whether or not you can actually grow back alocasia from the corm.
The corm, you mean the trunk?
The trunk. Stump. Yeah. Versus like, obviously it's easier just to take it from the, division corms.
Or a division.
But to like fully cut it back like to the soil level and whether or not you can grow them back. Yes, you can. I'm doing that on my variegated Friday deck right now. But this guy, like the mother corm, if you will, like landed sideways.
Don't call it a corm because that's misleading. Well, but it's like the trunk.
Okay. But it's still a corm.
Is it?
Yeah, it's just not underground.
I mean, it is underground because it's on the, it's in trunk form to me.
But yes,
it's not just corm girthier form. Than you're expecting.
4-inch long corm sideways in the compost.
And I was throwing it out.
Grew like 6 points off of it.
Sweet.
Is that what it was? I can't remember how many.
There were 4 or 5.
There's 4 out of the ground.
6 seems excessive, but I didn't take it home and count them either, so.
Well, there's 4 out of the ground right now at my house.
And they're all attached to the.
To the mother corm, if you will.
That's cool. Yeah. I just chopped my cupria. And I was thinking about doing that, but I was like, I don't want to go prepare a bit of soil for the, but like, again, it's that big woody trunk. Mm-hmm. I think the reason is I don't want more of that plant to have to deal with to sell. But if it puts out like, you know, 5 plants, maybe I do want to do that.
I got tired of my Friedeck, just looking like hot garbage. And then every now and then of just having spider mites on it. And so I just chopped it all off and started it over from the trunk, and it put out a growth point in like 2 weeks.
I was going to say, I had a similar one with both my variegated and my green one, and they just got garbaged.
Yeah, I am trying to stop myself from doing that for my Regal Shield. It might just happen.
I found spider mites on my Friedeck, the variegated Friedeck in the greenhouse. And I just hosed them down. I've been hosing them down whenever I remember. And we're doing pretty good. He's actively growing. So, like, I think we're good on the spider mites, but I will still keep rinsing him off. And then I found spider mites on all the other alocasia in my grow tent, but like nobody had a big infestation, and I hosed them down today. And also when they come inside, I'm just going to get beneficial bugs and cross my fingers and not worry about it. I can't think about it too hard. I'll give them a good spray down before they come in. And then
this just makes me think I should really spread the aphids off my desert roses soon. They've been going, they got aphids like a month ago, and I've just been like, normally the wasps take care of them, but our neighbors like de-wasped their house, so they're all gone.
Oh, maybe that's who's been eating my aphids, because we have wasps.
Probably.
Sweet. Also, check underneath your pots for ants. You probably have ants.
Are ants good?
You want ants?
No, you don't want ants. They farm the aphids. Ants. Everywhere that I get aphids, if it's sitting on the deck and not on the table or a shelving unit and it gets aphids, I always get an ant nest in there. Always.
Ants protect aphids and mealybugs.
Yeah, because they farm the honeydew off of them.
Well, none of my plants in the greenhouse are sitting on the ground.
Then I wouldn't worry too much about it, but still give them a check from the bottom when you bring them in. Because that's always fun when you realize that you have a queen moving the whole nest out of a pot and you're like, well, shit.
I saw that I had some aphids on my moonlight today and I'm like, why? So I had some aphids in my plant room, and anything I found aphids on, I just put it outside and they've been gone in a week. Mm-hmm. And The ones that live inside continuously are just finding new plants to munch on. And I'm like, can we stop?
Take all the plants outside.
Yeah. So anytime now.
It's funny. I have one adenium that like white. It's an albino. I'm thinking about grafting it onto a green one to see if I can get it to grow. That's the only one not affected by aphids. And it's also like the weakest one. So I'm surprised that it's even still alive, honestly.
Aphids are...
Are the two of you ready for Gudanguddin? Because I've got some going.
Sure. No, am I not excited?
Totally forgot about that, but yeah, I'm down. That's one that I've always had my eye on.
Yeah, I want all my extra plants to go away. Just magically. I could make that happen if I yesterday. Just put them in the compost. Which honestly, by the time this episode airs, the garage sale will have taken place. But I'm like debating just pricing things super duper low so that everything goes away.
2 for $5, let's go.
2 for $5. I was thinking 5.
5 for $5?
Well,
no, 1 for $5 instead of 10. I would normally price it at 10, but I'm thinking price it at 5.
Here I'm thinking a lot of my seedlings.
Low priced mother plants.
Yeah, like a lot of my seedlings, like my aloes and stuff that I just have so many of. I was only going to do like $2 or $3 each. Like come pick what you want and just probably give you freebies just because I have hundreds that I need to go. And I've made my final selections for my first batch. And I think I have like 4 from there that I want to keep.
Yikes.
Out of like 300-400.
I'm not there.
It's gonna be great.
I did take some cuttings today in the greenhouse. Like my pink princess, it lost a bunch of its lower leaves, so I took the top like 8 leaves. Gonna root it in water, plant it up. My painted lady, same deal. Took a cutting. Just gonna sell the bottom, and then white wizard and cupria too. Mm. I'm just like meh. And then my 69686, getting rid of that. Getting rid of Attabome. I did take one mid cutting that has some sport variegation on it to see if I can keep that going.
Right.
If it doesn't, I will sell it.
I just have a bunch of cultivar aloes and seedlings.
What was the other plant you had that it was doing really cool variegation or sport variegation?
The Tandarusa baby.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, speaking of that guy, the mother plant that was in the pot, not really doing anything, but it split off and I have like 5 different plants growing up in there now and they all put out past their like first 2 leaves and I'm like, getting really excited for this guy.
Nice.
So I hope I can continue that when it comes inside because every time it switches like locations, it suffers.
Yep. I think that ultimately was the demise of mine is I kept trying to fix it. And
do you have one?
Just made it worse.
Do you have one right now?
No.
I can help you out when yeah. I
someday get some.
Mackie, my question for you. Tree philodendrons, particularly Warswickii aurea. Can I just cut that?
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah.
I was also thinking about taking a cutting of my Warswickii.
It'll probably get pissy and drop a lot of its leaves if it's got
Well, it
that...
only has 2 leaves.
I wouldn't worry too much about it. It might not be happy, but just do it.
I mean, it puts out such ridiculously long but very beautiful yellow aerial roots.
I was going to say
I was thinking I will chop it, take the top, keep the aerial roots, just pot it straight in soil.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
And then sell the bottom at the sale. So, Catherine, if you're listening, if you want an Warswickii aurea butt cut.
Hopefully you came yesterday to our garage sale and bought it.
What Christine said. Ah, shit, it's too late. I was a messenger. Because, like, he's cute, but, like, that's another one that I'm like, should I just get rid of it completely? Because I don't have the energy to figure out what the hell he wants. I don't know if it's light or humidity or both or nothing.
Yeah. I don't know. I've hit the point where it's, like, a lot of stuff that I grow that looked really good for a while that I've shown off and then like it would dip whether through my care or that's just how it cycles through its growth. I just, that's too much for me. I don't do that anymore. Don't deal with that stuff.
Like to a point I enjoy it, but like for a while it was, you know, alocasia were like that, but then I figure out what they like. And now my alocasia are for the most part pretty damn consistent and I don't have issues with like, this is one I just haven't been able to figure out. Nice thing. If I do keep it, my 10th deer downstairs, I have, shout out to Mr. Dave Gramstrup, who LinkedIn event.
Oh,
he came over and did the duct work so that I have a little heat coming into my tent now.
Nice.
So hopefully I can keep my DLI a little higher, keep my humidity up, keep my heat up in my grow tent to facilitate faster growth.
Nice.
So super looking forward to that. Thank you so much, Dave and Jen. We love you guys. But maybe that will help the Warswickii aurea too.
Also,
heat and humidity.
Jen, thank you for picking up your plants for me yesterday. This is the reminder that hopefully we didn't forget to do that.
Oh, at our garage sale? That happened yesterday?
She bought a bunch of plants
from... That was super successful.
She bought a bunch of plants from a friend, and the friend dropped them off at my place. And I was like, I'll just hold them till the sale, and you can grab them when you come up for the sale.
Nice. That's a long time.
It was a long time, but it was a decent sized sale, so it was worth it. And they're all succulent. So does that even add anything to my what I need to take care of?
It's not like they're aeroids.
Yeah. It was well within what I could neglect easily. So
sure.
At this point, when this podcast episode airs, it'll be in the past. But do you guys think I should bring my elbow as a whole after I've cut it, or cut it up and then bring it to the sale?
Cut it up.
Wait, what?
My elbow. Should like I leave it
as a?
Well, I mean, if someone wants to pay me for whatever's left of it, sure. But like, I also
like
could,
just like a statement plant.
I was gonna say.
Should I cut it up into pieces and sell the pieces, or should I bring it and cut pieces off of it as people want it? And then if someone wants to buy the whole thing.
So like gyro stand? Or
that's what I just think. That's what I was just thinking. I was like, you know those stands where they cut the meat off the roots, the spit? Like just that. Like, oh, you want an elbow cutting? Do you want me to cut it here or here?
If you want this leaf five down, you'll have to come back.
Yeah. That's an interesting thing. I kind of like it because if someone wants like two nodes instead of one.
They can just pay for a two-node cutting.
Right.
Or let's say nobody wants an elbow and you don't have to cut it up and have 20 cuttings now.
Right.
I'd rather have 20 cuttings than a 4-foot-tall plant. Because the cuttings, I already have, a big like ceramic pot that doesn't have any drainage in it that I'm going to fill with water, stick all the cuttings in there. If it gets to that point, that's where I'm rooting them. I already have it set aside. My largest vessel.
This is making me think I want to grow like a 10-foot elbow, chop it all up and put all the individual cuttings in a pot and see what it does.
All of them?
Yes.
Ugh.
I just want overkill.
Oh, it's overpotted.
Yeah. Start a specimen.
I mean,
plant.
Mickey, you saw my plants when I put 6 cuttings in a thing. It's chaos.
I know, but I want to pot up
was this
like
the
a Tycon or an elbow like you would a pothos. Mm.
6 cuttings to per pot, baby. Well, hey, guess what? I could do that. Okay, I don't have room for it, but I could if I wanted to.
Thinking about it. I have an elbow. I just need to like do stuff with it.
Cut it up, give it enough light, keep it from drying out.
I mean, it's in a 4-inch pot and it does dry out every 3 days.
Mm. Oh, okay. The local Facebook group Houseplant Collective has been talking about my elbow because Diana posted a video of the elbow at the plant show.
Sure.
Not a single soul has messaged me directly to ask questions about it. They're messaging everybody else in the group being like, how do I grow one like this? It's like, why wouldn't you just ask the source?
Well, did she,
do they hate me? I think they hate me.
Well, you're not in the group, so she couldn't tag you.
Yeah. No, but I tried to tag you.
There's enough people saying it's Kaylin and my name is easily Googleable enough that they could
maybe.
And there's enough people in the group, you could ask somebody who knows somebody and they could be like, oh, yes, just message us. I am a friendly person.
Sure.
I am a friendly person.
Direct, but friendly.
I am direct because I don't have energy to not be direct. It takes too much energy. But anyway, my secret is light and never letting it dry out. And if you don't listen to me on light, you will never grow a plant like that.
Right. Plant of the week.
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
Gotta figure out who's been my past plant of the week.
I got one.
Ooh, do it.
My Euphorbia pentagona that I see grew like 5-6 years ago.
Pentagona.
I just had to fish it out of my pond, but it's looking good.
It was in your pond?
Yeah, we had that huge storm last night and it blew off the rack into my little fish pond.
Oh, okay.
I had a bunch of baby fish swimming in it and I was like, oh, I'm gonna take that out.
But why?
Because I'm pretty sure it's gonna rot. I think it might have already started, but it looks really nice right now.
Mm-hmm. I know you guys like it when I repeat my plants of the week. Who did I see today that I really liked? It was in the greenhouse.
You're not going to give it to one of your state fair winners? Like, congratulations, you did a good thing for me. You get acknowledgement.
Okay. I can't find when the last time I picked my Dioscorea elephantipes as my plant of the week.
Hell yeah.
So Dictrolis Dioscorea is my plant of the week. Congratulations. Also, he got first place at the fair.
And I grew it from seed.
Yeah.
Dioscorea.
It's not like diarrhea.
They actually changed its name recently, I think. It's Tetsudenaria dioscorea. Tetsudenaria elephantipes now.
That's even harder to say.
Elephantipes.
Well,
that's just funny.
The elephantipes part didn't change, but it's no longer what it was before. Tippies. I know this.
Don't talk about my tippies like that.
Stupid.
My tippies are cracking.
I mean, I did it earlier. It's not your turn, I guess.
I didn't plan for this. Maybe I'll do my plumoniae since it is looking really nice and it put out a leaf that's probably, I don't know. Yeah. I'd have to go measure it at home, but I'm going to say it's a good probably 16 inches wide.
Oh, heck yeah. Wide, not tall?
Wide. It's a very round leaf for a plum okay. Onion. It's very heart shaped
in diameter.
Yeah. So I'll go.
Well, thank you, plants of the week, for growing so nicely for us. And thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in to our plant chat.
Yeah. Sorry, spicy is distracting.
No, I was going to say if we wanted to add anything about, you know, our stupid things at the end. Buy our stickers, join our Discord. Blah,
blah, blah. Yeah, you know, the usual plugs and stuff, you know.
Hey, support are we us. Also doing that event in Wisconsin?
Yeah, we could talk about that. So Mackie and I will be at an event on September 21st in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is the Houseplant Mini Expo and Plant Sale at Rain Tree Garden Center in Eau Claire. We had a fabulous listener plug us at a greenhouse over in Eau Claire, and we've been chatting back and forth, and they invited us out to it. So we will be there doing our thing.
Look forward to meeting you people. Yeah.
Come say hi. Come do, I don't know, grab a sticker or something. Sorry.
And I'm sorry, I won't be there. I'm shooting a wedding.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, September 21st from 10 to 4 in Eau Claire. We'll put all the things in the things.
We'll
so
let you know via the things.
Yeah.
We'll put the things in the places for y'all. We'll
do the things.
Woo! Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Thank you for tuning in, and everybody stay rough.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.